All right, let's head over to the Zoom line where we have Mark Workman with us, RMI Supply. That's RMI Supply. Mark Workman, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for interviewing and visiting.
Well, no problem. Of course, one of the big things happening in the world right now is supply chains and logistics, and people are starting to hear that word in the mainstream news. I never thought I'd live in a world where logistics would be talked about on the nightly news. And so, we thought we'd bring you in because you've really been in logistics since 1992. You've been around in the oil field since 2009. Talk to me about the genesis of RMI Supply. How you guys, trying to be a little bit more PC with my language, how your team, how your company has gotten to be, you know, where you're at today in the world of, service and quality, integrity, like your website says, RMI Supply. You know, you guys are involved with oil field chemicals. So let's talk about that, the genesis of it.
Well, the genesis came, out of the idea that for years, when I started in 92, I had a freight brokerage and a trucking company and, kind of learned the ins and outs of, getting things done through transportation mostly. But the thing of it is what I learned is on the sidelines of those things is the idea of telling the truth when it hurts you. Like, the driver's going to fail, the truck's failing, it's not going to make it. You need to be able to call your customer within 30 seconds of finding that information out and telling the truth. So a lot of logistics is based on the idea of being truthful and then, quick with your responses. And literally that's how I've ever established my business or grown this oil field side of the business since 2009 is I literally have my customers tell me how quick I respond to things and answer questions and, that kind of thing. So it's very important to me to respond quickly, but just on the logistics side is to tell them when there's problems as well as when it's really going well. To being able to communicate like that and tell the truth, eventually you never lose a customer because they trust what you're going to say. So a lot of times logistics, the basis of it is just being a truth teller and then making the right contacts with the right trucking companies and the right lanes and understanding what your customer needs and the specs and, there's a lot of variables with all that, but getting all that in your head, so it's just part of your communication and it should be truthful. That's be my view.
Well, it's interesting that, the word truthful is very much thematic throughout where your core of a company seems to be. And, one of the things that we've been with the Crude Life, our oil and gas brand specifically, in fact, it's been in our slogan now for over 10 years, is trusted interview. Because one of the things we do is we go to the experts. Like, we don't have a frack scientist coming on talking about, what the CEO is talking about, and the CEO doesn't talk about what the frack chemist is supposed to talk about, and that sort of thing. So and a lot of it is because of, lawsuits, and a lot of it is because of respect to the industry. And a lot of it is because people understand that in the world of oil and gas specifically, and this is really energy overall, information is so powerful and accountability is needed. So rather than hide from a problem, you have to actually stand up faster. And to me, that's one of the things that I found that has really built trust within a lot of different industries, is that if you are accountable for your good and your bad, I'm not talking bragging here. I'm talking about just being accountable. That seems to be a pretty good commodity in terms of, building that trust or being truthful, if you will. Am I making any sense to you?
Definitely. Like, I just got off the phone shortly with a customer that's been with me forever, since almost the beginning. And we were just talking about this. And really the deal of it is if the person is good and has integrity, who I'm talking to in the industry, the product is almost always good. So the product flows from the person. It's not the other way around. You know, good, bad people don't necessarily, you know, and there's people that are bad players, obviously, in every industry, but typically when someone has shown themselves to be a stand-up guy, stand behind their product, deliver on time, do what they say they're going to do, right? The list, you know. The end process is the product generally is very, very good and works and meets the customer's needs as described by the customer, you know. So it absolutely drives the thing, integrity. And again, you know, people that are price shopping, chasing the lowest, the lowest, the lowest, and on and on, that's really not my customer. Chasing tech grade, you know, we try to stick to the highest quality. Like our xanthan is 20 plus at our 3 RPM. You know, that doesn't mean anything to most people, but that's a very high grade xanthan. So they just don't have failures. There's no problems out in the field. And then the customers appreciate that. They might pay a little more for it, they'll tell you that. But at the same time, if there's a problem, you know, they understand that we're going to take care of it as well. So, you know, the product is only good as the person and integrity pushing it. You know, I really believe that's the truth. You get to know somebody, you kind of know what's coming a little bit with the product or service. So.
No, I'd agree with that, definitely. You know, one of the things that's so interesting about the oil and gas industry is that the supply chain is pretty vast. You know, and so it's one of the things that I always enjoy asking about is, you know, who is your customer? So, I mean, you know, within your line of, you know, the supply chain within the industry, you know, who specifically is your customer?
Well, it'd be fluid companies, mud companies, mining companies, IMDEX, you know, Tintino, that kind of thing. I sell to the military as well, some biocide stuff. But you know, I have a pretty wide-ranging thing. But in the oil industry, it's some refineries, and then mostly drilling fluids and mud companies is who I serve. And you know, again, they're, you know, I'm not an unknown entity. It's just it's just that a lot of times there's bigger players involved and, you know, we're riding along, you know. So we're trying to break down those walls and grow, and the things we're expanding at our place with the fluids blending and adding tanks, adding a reactor, all those kind of things is the things we want to do to grow and mature as a company. You know, we've been in business long enough that we're not unknown, but at the same time, I think there's room for us to, you know, kind of get in there and help out and serve, you know, even more companies than we already do.
Now, what would a liquid or a fluid blending be? What would be an example of something like that?
Friction reducer, liquid PHPA, those kind of things that, you know, we, and then again, we package all that stuff. A lot of times, one of the big things that I think that has really grown and we how we've matured is because of the way we've set up our system. During COVID, we needed 15 employees a day to do packaging, right? So what happens is we were getting one or none. We were getting killed, you know, in terms of just employees and people not showing up. And so during those years, we started automating and putting in processes, I guess, to be able to put out 6 to 8 loads a day with 3 employees. So and I hate to talk that way, but we had to do it because we just couldn't get anyone to work. But in that we've created an efficiency. Like just yesterday, we, you know, a lot of times we have guys order at 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, and a lot of times the lead times on liquid PHPA for a lot of our competitors is literally, you know, 3 to 4 weeks typically. We got that order in the morning, labeled pails, put it on the truck by 2 in the afternoon. So we've been able to create a benefit with the way we do logistics and processes, you know. Like I said, we're not the cheapest, but at the same time, we're getting the product there probably faster than our competitors, at least right now. And I think that's, you know, for us a great advantage. And that's probably the only advantage we have because again, we're not a big company. But we're trying to do our best to provide that service and then provide the highest quality product that we can.
You know, I've been interviewing people in oil and gas for over a decade now. And before that, I owned a business newspaper. And before that, I owned a city and a home magazine, you know, so a lot of building, decorating, landscaping, remodeling. And so basically what I'm saying is that, for 25 years now, I've heard people say we're not the cheapest. And generally what happens is that somebody who says that is pretty darn confident that they know that if somebody is going to go and do business with them, it's going to save them money in the long term. And so there actually are cheaper. And so it's just somebody needs to understand why a little bit more of an investment in quality up front saves money in the long term. And sometimes it's a quality of product, sometimes it's a time saving type of a thing. What is it that companies need to know that you bring to the table that is going to save them time or money or both or something along those lines? Because, like I said, generally somebody who's pretty confident to say, we're not the cheapest, they usually can back that up.
Yeah, and again, I'm kind of a control freak, so that's the truth of it, and I'm a nice one, I think. But the point of it is that, like, if they call, they're getting me. They're not getting anyone else. And I have a team of guys that, they have their jobs and they do them, and mine is to communicate, take care of problems, solve the problems, put the fires out, whatever, and get the product moving, and then all those things. Have a million messages a day, like you do, and like all of us do anymore. But in terms of just the advantages, is that we stick to high quality on purpose. We don't want to be selling tech grade. It's like API 13. People out there know what that means. It's really kind of the lowest possible thing you can put out there that is approvable by an operator or somebody. We stick to the higher grades for sure. So the performance is better. I just anecdotally just had another customer who tried a 92% Pac-L polyanic cellulose, and again, that not to throw terms out there that are misleading, but just the fact that it's 92% pure, tests at 94, 95 all the time, and they were afraid to use it because it's a high purity, costs more, they pay more for it. Well, they literally responded, the customer loved it. Oh, the performance was amazing. It saved them time on the drilling project because it performed so well. So time was saved, employee costs were saved. There's all kinds of savings in going with the right quality product, in my opinion. You go to the low end side, you do pay for it one way or another, in my thinking. And that's the direction we've gone as a mission statement, is to stick to the highest end that we can get to. And still try to be competitive, which is hard. It's very hard to do that sometimes, but you just say no a lot and nope, we can't do that. No, we're not going to do tech grade. We're going to stick to where we're at, and it's working for us. We're still in business, and all these years later, in a very tough and I mean, it's a tough business in oil and gas, and we're doing well, thriving, and we've stayed to the high end, and I think that's a real important thing. And then also, I just say we've gotten smart about how we process the orders in terms of just packaging, label, totes, all that kind of stuff. It's just almost mind-boggling fast, and that's been a real benefit to our customers. So they can control their inventories better. Like one of the guys in Midland, he doesn't have to put an order in and guess when he needs it in 3 weeks. Literally, he's guessing. Like, okay, I probably gonna need some more in about 3 or 4 weeks. Well, at least in our world, he ordered on Wednesday. We delivered it Thursday morning, not Midland. So that's a very powerful thing to know, the speed of getting things and the reliability. So all those things are worth it, and every penny that they might pay extra, in my opinion.
Well, in oil and gas industry, time is definitely money, and
Cool.
every minute something's down, I don't know what it costs, but it's probably at least five figures. I mean, there's a lot of accountants that are a lot more smarter than me, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how much money goes into keeping an operation run smooth. And one of the things you mentioned, friction. You mentioned some of these different liquid blends and everything.
Yeah, they're
My,
usually. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
well, I was going to say, where I was going with it is that a lot of today's day and age is so safety and regulatory oriented. And when you're talking about these types of things, to me, my mind goes to prevention. that the quality would help with preventing accidents and leaks, because in today's oil and gas industry, you can't spill a cup of coffee without OSHA showing up.
No, it's true. And again, to answer towards that a little bit, is that like our facility is what's considered an NSF certified, which means that the products are safe to drill through water tables, essentially. Like in like xanthan gum, you know, everyone knows what xanthan gum is. It's in toothpaste, mayonnaise, bread, you know. So we just sell truckloads of xanthan, you know what I mean? So it's a safe product. And it's not food grade, and food grade, all food grade has been done is tests that did not have E. coli. So it's the same xanthan. It's just been proven to not have E. coli to go in food, you know?
Yeah,
so
see, a lot it's you're organic. You're organic, yeah, so, right? Yeah.
So a lot of things are actually thinning or thickening the mud in the fluids. That's all they're trying to do, is to get the right viscosity and, you know, what they're going for. But a lot of it is, you know, certified safe to go through water tables, all those kind of things. You know, the horizontal drillers, they got to have NSF product. You know, the people that are drilling under highways and, you know, creek beds or whatever to put pipe in or that kind of thing, all that stuff's got to be NSF certified, which we are. So our facility has passed all those requirements and meets all those standards. So I mean, and those are all minor things that no one thinks about, right? That about being NSF certified or whatever you requirement you may need. No one thinks about those things about, but when you enter the ground, you got to be thinking about where you're going and how you're getting there, you know? So, you know, those are all important subjects.
It sounds like things that companies can brag about in their annual reports and that type of thing.
No, not at all. No, not a bit, no.
Talk to me about, you know, your customers without, you know, without mentioning names or anything along those lines, you know, like, what are some of the things you're hearing back from your customers, either things that you're helping them with or things that either, you know, you're looking at in a new way now?
Well, you know, right now the market is, drilling rigs are, you know, there's just a lot of pressure politically. That's what I'm hearing, to be honest with you. There's just a lot of pressure on how to plan and how to think a year out, 2 years out on when, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of policy and leases and, you know, all those kind of things. And, you know, and then prices with COVID, you know, xanthan at that time, you know, was going over $7, you know, it's just dropping, you know, it's down in the threes now, that kind of thing. So prices have moderated, obviously, big, you know, during this period since COVID and all that, but it got really wild during that time. And so the uncertainty would be the biggest thing I hear from my customers. It's not necessarily about, you know, what I'm doing or my products or anything like that, because we've been really consistent for quite a long time now. But I would say the uncertainty is definitely on people's minds in terms of just deciding how to go forward sometimes. And these companies, some of them are so big and they're just behemoth. They're just beasts. You know, they're just so big and powerful. But even they have uncertainty now, you know, like a little company like mine, I feel like I got to have my nose in the books and reading and understanding what they're doing, you know, the policies and the changes and the trends that are coming. China's politics are interesting because we import from there. We import from Turkey. We import from other places around the world. And, you know, the conflict in the Red Sea is affecting the delivery of our Pakal, believe it or not, you know, or the Ukraine war affected our delivery of Pakal back in the day when it started, you know. And you got to navigate around those things. But I think the uncertainty might be the greatest conversation piece that I have all day with my customers, you know. And I might be overstating it, you know, but you might have a perspective too if you're, you know, doing all these interviews. But I would think that's part of the vernacular in terms of just trying to sort through how to plan. And because you got to do a plan for a well 6 months away, a year away. You got these leases. I mean, they're planning years ahead, and I think it's sometimes very difficult to do that.
Do you see your role as a small business being advantageous right now in that environment? Because maybe you can be a little bit more quick and nimble? Or do you see
For
it maybe
sure. There's
as
no doubt.
insurance because you can't, you know, leverage maybe the volume discounts or something like that? I don't know.
Exactly. I'm not in that position that I can just, oh yeah, I'll just give it to you. You know, Baker Hughes just says, we'll do a loss leader. We'll sell it at a loss just to wipe out all the competitors. You know, they're just so powerful, you know, and
we'll pay you, right? We'll pay you.
It's not a negative either. You know, they've earned that. You know, I'm not even saying a negative there when I say it that way. But my point is that, like, literally, I am the decision maker. It's all in my head in many ways, you know, in terms of the feel and the how I want to present myself and talk to my customers. And I want it to be very folksy and very relational. I'm not, you know, some technical engineer guy that is going to talk, you know, just be nonsense. You know, I want to be, you know, how can I help you? You know, I want to serve those kind of things. But because we are small and nimble, we were able to make changes very quickly, a number of times in the last 12, 13 years, you know, 14 years. I've been able to quickly navigate away from something that wasn't working. Where I think, like, I'll sometimes work with Dow Chemical and BASF on some things, Arxada for biocides, different things like that. And sometimes you can place an order with them and you may not hear from a sales manager for weeks. I mean, they literally, you know what I mean? So these big companies have processes they got to go through to even initiate an order, you know, and it's so different in terms of the way they do things, you know, and they want 100 rail cars to be sold, not a truckload. So they're thinking totally different volumes. And, you know, for a guy like me, my order is not important to them, I don't think, you know. And that sounds a negative too, but it's just the nature of the distribution chain is there's certain levels. And when you try to move up into a certain level, it sometimes can feel very bureaucracy driven and it's hard to work. Where down at my level, I can get things done and make a decision in 3 minutes. I can get presented information and I'm the guy that's going to make the decision. I move on a second. So, oh, that makes sense. Oh yeah, let's do it that way. You know, and it's just so simple. No, it is an advantage. There's no doubt. And to grow into a bureaucracy like that would be a negative for me.
Now you're out of Houston. You mentioned you can be in, you know, Midland, no problem. Do you, what's your territory? What's your region? How, you know, what size?
Well, you know, RMI is Rocky Mountain Industrial, so that's the main focus. I do ship Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma all the time, Colorado, and up the Front Range into Wyoming, the Bakken, and up into Alberta. That would be, I ship to like companies that you know, buy our products up in Alberta, believe it or not, and in Bakken, Wyoming, Colorado, right down into Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. And I would say Texas, obviously, is the center of the universe for my work, but, you know, definitely going to Oklahoma quite often and Louisiana, you know, often. So if that describes it. But that, you know, I that's basically the Rocky Mountain Front Range all the way up north is essentially what I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else about the liquid blending? Anything, you know, that we're need to know on something along those lines?
You know, not necessarily, just the fact that, you know, it's just the capacities went from, you know, for us, the capacity went up. You know, we can produce, you know, 8 loads a day of friction reducer, you know, from what
is that
we used
temperature,
to do.
Is that temperature bothered at all, or, you know,
yeah,
issues?
You, know, you don't want it to freeze, that's for sure. Yeah, so hence Texas. But,
yeah, well, the Bakken has issues with that, and so does Canada, you know.
Yeah, they got to store it inside and that kind of thing. So, but
I'll never forget when I did a feature on the Bakken, and it was, I think, 2016 or something like that. And it was, there was 85 consecutive days where the air temperature was below zero. And,
yeah.
I grew up in Fargo and North Dakota, Minnesota. So I, you know, I was used to cold, right? Like there had actually been three times in my life where they told you it's so cold outside, It's like 100 below windshield. If you're outside, you're going to be arrested for your own safety, right? So, I mean, I've been in cold, right? But
Right.
when those truck drivers told me that it was so cold that their diesel engines were gelling up on the interstate and they couldn't move, I went, "Oh, that's cold. Holy
No.
smokes, are you kidding me?" So,
Yeah. It's a whole different, yeah.
oh, go
Go
ahead,
ahead.
sorry.
I was gonna say it's a whole different world, and you got to plan for that stuff, and the mud in the spring, and they just have whole different issues, than Texas.
Does mud matter? Like, I know it does with the overall frack. That's why Tuscaloosa is a little more muddy and it costs more because you have to have more resources pumped into something that's a little bit more muddy versus, something that's shale and you can frack it easy. Does that matter at all? Does mud matter at all for you?
No, I don't. I don't think about those issues. Like, typically, the mud companies and the operators have gotten together with their engineers and all their,
Sure.
and they just say, "Here's what we need," and I don't
Yeah.
really know about the specific wells. Does that make sense? Like,
Yeah,
they
no, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
we got 9 rigs up, and we need this much. We're gonna, and then some of them might be oil-based rigs, some might be water-based, whatever they're doing. But I don't necessarily know about specific rigs. They'll tell me about some of it, but like a lot of times their challenges, I don't necessarily hear them. I don't from my side because I'm removed one step removed from it,
Well, how do like your customers buy your product, or do they, go into Oil R Us or what? How do they get
No,
a no?
no. Typically, it's as simple as usually a PO email. A lot of them, sometimes just a text, like literally, I know you're not gonna believe that, but I'll turn that text into a PDF for a record. But a lot of times, it's Mark, send us another load. That's how they, or I'll get an email PO, with a specific tracking number. Some companies do it that way. It's not an online thing. It's not a, not a like a store or anything. It's just communication with me one way or another through phone
Sure.
or email. And I just, again, pop into work and get it going,
Well, it's RMI Supply and the website rmisupply.com. Anything else that we should let people know about before we wrap up this interview, sir?
Just thankful for your time. I appreciate, the opportunity to be interviewed like this. Pretty cool. It's kind of an odd experience, truly. I've never done something like this, but again, I love what I do, and I hope that came through. I will never retire. I'll probably do this till the day I die. And I just appreciate the opportunity to share that, I guess. But I just hope it hope the message gets out that we want to serve and help.
And that was Mark Workman of RMI Supply. Check him out at www.rmisupply.com.